what really happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And this story just showed up on my desk here. Apparently, Senators Grassley and Graham have sent a referral to the Justice Department requesting an investigation of Christopher Steele, the author of that discredited Russian dossier on Donald Trump, and specifically referring to Title 18, Section 1001, which is the part of Title 18 that does make it a crime to lie or deceive federal authorities. And they're saying they sent the referral over there to the Senate, to the Department of Justice, based on inconsistencies and contradictions in what Christopher Steele was saying to their various hearings. Now, this is not an investigation into the veracity of the contents of the dossier, which have already been discredited. But this could be the opening shot, because remember what I was saying to that other caller, how this will all break apart is one person who is feeling the heat and feeling the pressure will make a deal and start naming names. And Steele could basically blow the whistle on how this was an intentional hoax and a bit of campaign propaganda from Fusion GPS tracking back to the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. All it's going to take is for one of these highly placed people to hit the panic button, and then the accusations are going to be flying in all directions, and that will be a fun show to watch indeed. Now, getting back to the international news, North Korea has accepted South Korea's offer to meet in person for talks. This is starting to look very, very promising, and they're going to hold the talks tomorrow. Today is Kim Jong-un's birthday, and I'm glad that so far he has not shot off a missile or a nuclear weapon, because he loves to do these things on North Korean holidays, of which his birthday is one. Now, there's an interesting article that we posted from over in Politico saying that there does have to be a new approach to North Korea. And they, too, are seeing a positive sign in the fact that North and South Korea are preparing to have talks. And it's looking very promising that North Korea will be able to attend the Olympics in South Korea. That's going to be a good sign. We know that the U.S. has backed off and promised there'll be no more of this saber-rattling drills until after the Olympics are over. So this is all looking very, very positive. And Politico's story is basically saying that it's important not to make the same mistakes that doomed past negotiations. And they're referring to what were called the six-party talks, which collapsed in 2009. And North Korea came out of those talks convinced that the main reason the other parties wanted North Korea to disarm was to carry out regime change. That the international community's ultimate goal was regime change. Actually, it's more the U.S. Goal. And this fear continues to the present day, and it's created the current deadlock. And unfortunately, Trump's rhetoric has done nothing to ease North Korea's concerns, which are based on a major part with past U.S. history with other countries. Libya stopped its very fledgling nuclear program on the promise they'd be left alone. And then they got invaded. Iraq gave up their chemical weapons on the promise they'd be left alone. Then they got invaded. Syria gave up their chemical weapons on the promise they'd be left alone. And the U.S. is still inside Syria trying to figure out some way to get Assad. So looking at that track record, that really is the problem. Because North Korea is not going to give up their weapons of deterrence, which is what these long-range missiles and nuclear warheads are. They're weapons of deterrence, unless they know for a fact the U.S. will not be coming after them. And there's no way, there's no promise the United States can make that will be believed. And there really is the problem. Turning to the economic news, Gary Cohn is out there saying Trump's tax reform is already paying off for more than 1 million workers. And this was in an interview with Stuart Varney this morning. And it all sounds very, very positive until you start looking at some of the other things that are going on. Because over at Comcast, they have fired 500 of their people despite their claims the tax cut would create thousands of jobs. The company literally promised they would create thousands of new jobs in exchange for that big tax cut. And they got the tax cut, and they're firing people. Now, over at Deutsche Bank, which has had scandal after scandal after scandal going back for years and years, right now they're facing a shareholder revolt demanding £660 million compensation over a takeover deal that left them all shortchanged. So Deutsche Bank has been playing fast and loose, and apparently they made a really big mistake, and their shareholders demand compensation for the losses they suffered. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, the other day we were talking about the new tax code, and I said you need to be very careful. We're not going to actually know what's happening until it's fully implemented, because they'll give a tax cut one place, then they find a way to take it back someplace else. And the new U.S. tax code amends Internal Revenue Code Section 1031A1 regarding a concept of like-kind exchanges. And this excludes all cryptocurrencies from a previous legal loophole. And so as of now, all cryptocurrency trades represent a taxable event. Now, we're starting to get some indications about how the holiday shopping season really worked on out. Macy's has announced they're going to let go of 5,000 people and close 7 more stores. Their stock took a hit on that. And they're basically saying their holiday sales did go up, but just 1.1% over last year. And last year was a disaster. So it may have been a better Christmas season, but it wasn't good enough. Sears has announced the closings of another 103 stores across the nation. And if you look at the actual article, it'll say which stores are being closed. And apparently starting as soon as the 12th of this month, they'll be holding their closeout sales, where there will be an opportunity to get some real bargains. And the stores are divided. 39 are actual Sears stores, and the other 64 are Kmart stores, which is owned by Sears. Boy, it's hard to imagine a Kmart going out of business, but it is happening. Toshiba has decided to get out of the U.S. nuclear power business, at least as far as Westinghouse, and they've sold the Westinghouse nuclear unit to a group of investment companies led by Brookfield Asset Management for a total of $4.6 billion U.S. dollars. And the deal ends a major headache for Toshiba, which last year warned it might have trouble surviving if it didn't find a buyer for the nuclear power plant constructor, which it bought in 2006 for $5 billion. So they're taking a small hit, but not all that much. The other day we were talking about how Pakistan apparently incensed with Donald Trump's cutting of foreign aid to their country, reached a deal with China for direct trade between Pakistan and China based on the yuan. And analysts are now pointing out this brings the yuan on par with the U.S. dollar for investment and trade with Beijing. In other words, they're now equal. So the decline of the dollar is proceeding apace, along with the decline of the U.S. government. And despite all of the positive news in the corporate media, the numbers are not looking good. The global debt has hit a record of $233 trillion. And the reason ultimately goes on back to that private central banking model. The vast majority of nations on Earth are operating under private central banks, which create the public currency out of thin air and then loan it into circulation at interest. And inevitably, however it happens, the debt grows and grows faster than the available money supply. There is not enough money to pay that debt. So private non-financial sector debt hit an all-time high in Canada, France, Hong Kong, South Korea, Switzerland, and Turkey. This does not include the global derivatives exposure, which is an economic nightmare lurking out there in the darkness. And for those who are not up to speed on that, a derivative is a financial instrument whose earning or payout is based on another financial transaction. The simplest derivative is a credit default swap. And the way it works is like insurance. Let's say I'm rich. Ooh, would that be nice? And I invest $1 million in a business. I then buy a credit default swap that will pay out if I lose that other investment. It's loss mitigation, just like insurance. But unlike insurance, derivatives are unregulated. I can buy derivatives on other people's transactions that I have no part with. It's not like regular insurance. I can insure my home for fire, but I can't insure my neighbor's home for fire. And unlike regular insurance, the brokerages that trade in derivatives are not required to keep reasonable cash reserves on hand to pay claims. And back in 2008, that's what happened. That's what destroyed those companies on Wall Street. They'd gotten rich selling derivatives. They'd enjoyed the money, paid themselves bonuses. They didn't think the derivatives were ever going to be cashed in because the economy was booming and the real estate bubble was bubbling. And when it all came apart, the people with those derivatives pounded on the doors and said, "We want our money." And AIG and some of the other players, they simply collapsed. They didn't have the money. There simply wasn't enough money out there. But having learned nothing from the reckless behavior of derivatives, people are still selling them and people are still buying them. And there is something like, the last number I heard was $4 quadrillion global exposure in the derivatives. In a major global crash, most of those are going to be due and payable. And it's going to be a huge, huge mess. This is over and above that $233 trillion global debt. Larry Lindsay is out there reminding us all that unfunded entitlement liabilities take the U.S. federal debt obligations closer to 300% of the gross domestic product, basically saying that's the degree of trouble Greece was in. Alan Greenspan was out there saying, we're not getting like Greece, we're getting like Illinois. And what do you expect when you have a monetary system that is based on debt-based currencies? You have to know this is the inevitable consequence of private central banks, as opposed to the honest economic system the United States started with. Apparently, Tesla bonds are tumbling. They're now rated riskier than Indonesia. And it looks like the bond market is starting to give up on Elon Musk's dreams for Tesla's future. And that really is a shame because, I haven't driven one, obviously. Can't afford to buy one. But I've seen them close up. I've been shown Teslas by people who've got them. It looks like a really good idea. And despite my criticisms of the carbon Nazis, I do think electric-based cars are the wave of the future once we come up with a non-polluting way to generate that electricity in the first place. Looks like the charging problem is being solved right now. I'd love an electric car. I really would. Not like Claire and I do a lot of driving around here on the island. Now, as you know, the East Coast just got hit with a major blizzard, and it's being followed by record-setting cold. And this has resulted in a 60-fold surge in prices for U.S. natural gas. And spot prices for fuel used to heat homes and generate power hit a record $175 per million BTUs in New York. And that's a far cry from the $2.93 that U.S. gas futures have been averaging on the New York Mercantile Exchange this winter. So there was a major hit. Apparently over in Europe, Visa has locked down all Bitcoin Visa cards. Banks seem to be fighting back. They've decided they do not like this idea of a currency that is not under their control, that is not owned by them. Because that's actually the attitude of the private central bank, of the Federal Reserve. They own all the money. You just borrowed it. You may think you own the money that you get in your paycheck. It's just passing from one borrower to the other, to the other, to the other. And their mindset is it all belongs to them anyway, and they don't like competition. But again, there is no law that says that two people or a neighborhood or a city or a county or a state cannot set up their own alternative medium of exchange, one based on a commodity, one that is a unit of value rather than a unit of debt. On the front of that Federal Reserve note, it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. It doesn't say it's the only legal tender. People need to keep that in mind. Getting on over into Europe and immigration issues, the more that Hungary's Orbán talks about the disastrous migrant policy of Europe, the more pressure Angela Merkel comes under regarding her last-ditch attempt to form a new coalition government. Because the deadlock between Angela Merkel's party and the other party she needs to create a coalition government is that open border policy. And Viktor Orban is visiting Germany to offer his views on defending Europe's borders. Now, Hungary and Poland are in the process literally of uniting against the Eurocrats. They're out there saying, we don't want to live in an empire. And they're absolutely correct. You need to go on back and remember that the European Union was sold to the people of Europe and the member states as nothing more than a free trade, free travel zone. No passports if you're going from France to Spain, no tariffs or fees or anything as you ship product from one country to the other. And that was a good idea. It really started to work. But over time, Brussels has grabbed more and more authority to itself. All decisions are made by the European Commission. The European Parliament actually has very little power and authority. They can vote through a bill which is presented as a recommendation to the European Commission. But the European Commission, which is unelected, makes all the key decisions. It's kind of a lot like the Politburo in the old Soviet Union. And more we're hearing dissatisfaction, certainly from the people of Europe. And now we're seeing more and more leaders of Europe who are standing up and saying, this isn't working out. This isn't what we agreed to. Now, down in Great Britain, they're still trying to find a way to reverse the Brexit vote. And now they're pinning their hopes on a new referendum. And their strategy is rather dark and grim, because if you look at the numbers from the Brexit election, the people who voted yes on Brexit tend to be the older Britons who remembered what Britain was like before joined the European Union. And so based on that, the Remainers have a new strategy, which I will share with you after these few words.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about Brexit. We're talking about the attempt by the Remainers to basically overturn and ignore the will of the British people. Because the British people voted for Brexit. And like Donald Trump's victory, they overcame a huge amount of election fraud to do so. And so the new strategy is focused on the demographic breakdown of that vote, because the people who voted to leave the EU tended to be the older generations who remembered what Great Britain was like before it was merged with the European Union. The people who voted to remain were the younger people for whom being part of the EU is just all they've ever known. And so apparently the new strategy is, this is suggested by Peter Kellner, who's a pollster. He's basically saying that 450,000 Brexiteers die every single year. And so if there's a new referendum in 2020, Remain will win. Boy, that's rather sinister. Forget what they voted for. We'll just wait for all those people to die, and then we'll have another election here. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, phony Tony Blair is sticking his nose into the Brexit issue, prompting a rebuttal by Nigel Farage, who pointed out how Tony Blair was wrong on so many things here. Was wrong on ERM, wrong on the euro, wrong on Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. and he's wrong on Brexit. So the globalists have not given up yet. They want to glue Britain back to the European Union. They're still talking about the North American Union. And you need to understand that a fundamental difference between nationalists and globalists is nationalists think that nations should be run by leaders elected by the people who live right there in that country, from among the people who live in that country, and look after the country's interests. Globalists do not believe in democracy. They think the planet should be run by administrators chosen by them and following policies set by whatever experts they are listening to do what they think is best for society and the planet, regardless of what the population wants. I don't know about you. I would not want to live in a society like that. I wouldn't want my descendants to live in a society like that. And being a frustrated daddy, I think I've expressed on the air many times how much I regret that the one opportunity where I nearly became a father didn't work out. But there have been times recently where I look at the state of the world and part of me is saying, maybe that wasn't such a bad thing. Now, over at Investment Watch blog, they ran a story saying that it is time to stop counting illegal aliens in the census because there are so many of them. They're distorting the census results. And as one example, California has so many illegal immigrants. They have extra House seats. They have more seats in the House of Representatives than they ought to have based on the legal citizens in the state of California. And one of the problems we have is that these illegal immigrants are being brought on in specifically to red states to try and turn them blue. This is in your face election fraud because these illegal aliens are not allowed to vote, which is why at the very least we've got to mandate voter ID. Our election system is a joke. It's an absolute joke. I don't know if it's still out there someplace on Hulu or not, but there was this wonderful movie, I think it was called Recount, starred Kevin Spacey, about that debacle in Florida back in 2000. And you watch that movie and realize this all really happened. And I imagine about 5 years or so, we'll get a movie made about last year's primaries and general election and all the fraud that was going on with that. We, the American people, need to demand an honest election system. And again, I'm very disappointed, first of all, in the states that stonewalled Trump's Election Integrity Commission. And then I'm more disappointed that Trump capitulated and dissolved it. Because I don't think the Department of Homeland Security is going to do a thing about this issue. It's going to be up to us, we, the American people. And I would urge everybody to read the article I wrote on how to have honest elections, or at least more honest elections. And it's on the main page of What Really Happened. It's permanently linked up at the top, right underneath my photograph. And I urge you to read that article. And if you agree with it, copy it off and just send it to everybody that you know. We need to raise public awareness of this problem. And if you have not seen it, there's an HBO documentary called Hacking Democracy. And it in turn focuses on Bev Harris and her website, blackboxvoting.org. And Bev has just done amazing work through the years exposing how these electronic machines are intentionally designed to steal elections. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before we go back to the telephones here, a story coming out here now where Michael Wolff, the author of Fire and Fury, is now admitting he's not sure how much of his book is really true. He's out there now saying he thinks some of these people were lying. His excuse now is that he put it all out there in the book to let the reader decide for themselves what's true and what isn't. And this, of course, makes no sense at all, because ordinary readers, such as yours truly, we have no way to know because we weren't there. This is pure propaganda, and I think it's being done to support this push to get Trump out of the Oval Office on the 25th Amendment. But it's already coming apart. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Nick in England. Aloha, Nick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hello, Mike. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener to your show. It's the first time I've rung in, so thanks for taking the call. I wanted to just touch on what you were talking about just now about this ridiculous strategy of waiting till the Brexiteers die off. I mean, it's been pretty obvious that's something they've been looking to do before. And the thing that comes up to me in my mind is, is this like a women's singles game in a Grand Slam? Is this the best of three, or is it, best of five. I know the European Union has a long history of wrong result, vote again, and vote again until you get the right vote. So I don't think anybody's too surprised about this. But the thing that really, the thing that gives me hope is that the people that come out to parade the value of staying in, these are all discredited has-been politicians. And to me, people like, I mean, Tony Blair is really, really, since he left office, his reputation has taken a huge nosedive. And the fact that it's like he's the best person they can put forward is a great sign of weakness in my mind. And, I mean, it was very clear to me that he's a, you know, gopher bag carrier for the globalists. I mean, the morning that the Brexit poll was announced, I was watching it on live TV. It was an amazing drama. And there he was, Tony Blair, turning up at the offices of the Brexit offices early in the morning. And I was thinking, well, what on earth is he doing there? And so it's pretty obvious that he was going to be one of the leading emissaries to reverse the results. But people don't in this country have any respect for him at all. And as I say, it's a bit like, you know, we play cricket in England, we don't play baseball, but I mean, if he's the best batter or batsman to send out to bat for you, I think it shows a great deal of weakness, and that does encourage me, enormously.
I think looking objectively, the globalists are losing ground because there's a huge pushback. Pardon me. The European nations are just angry over the open borders. We've got problems in this country caused by unregulated immigration. People are beginning to realize that there is an ongoing attack on our very identities, our history, our cultural icons. They started with the Confederate flag and then Confederate statues. They're trying to erase all history to basically create a population with no real sense of who they are so that they can be mixed together, hopefully without friction. But, of course, it really didn't work out very well, as you can tell by what's going on in Europe. And it's another classic case of too much policy being set by wishful thinking. And we get a lot of that from the liberal establishment who just imagine something is going to work this way, and then they get out in the real world, and it doesn't work out that way, and they look for somebody to blame. A good example is the open borders issue, and all these people are flooding into Europe, and then all of a sudden violent crime goes up, rape goes up, burglary goes up, and all these countries are now having to admit there's a major increase in crime that is directly tied to the flood of migrants, The globalists are out there saying, oh, the media is just paying too much attention to it. Or you have these ridiculous politicians who are out there saying, well, you know, we've had these problems all along. Like, I think it was Sadiq Khan the other day came on out and said, there's always been rape gangs in Britain, which is just an absolute flat out lie. It's a phenomenon that showed up only recently and is being run by the migrants. So there's going to be a fight. And ultimately, I think that'll be a big part of the coming global war, is the nations that support globalism at war with the nations that support nationalism.
Well, one of the interesting things to me about, I mean, Tony Blair is one of these politicians that I've just taken I took an instant dislike to him years and years ago, is that it transpires after he left office that, of course, they opened the doors. They even, you know, Peter Mandelson, his ex-Bengali guy, was on record then as they were sending out search parties to have foreigners come into the country. But this was done under the cloak of the highest secrecy because you mustn't discuss it in public. And there's always been this thing of, Tony Blair knows best, extraordinary level of arrogance. One of the things on him personally that I found really extraordinary, there was a book about him by a journalist called Tom Bauer, or Bowie, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, called Broken Vows. And in that, there's a whole kind of, he was a very good journalist, he interviewed lots and lots of people, and he's talking about the Iraq War. And how they were having all these discussions in Downing Street with all these various generals and things. And some of these generals were saying to him, look, you can't do this. And about the after-war planning, but, you know, they didn't have enough equipment for the soldiers, and it was just completely impractical. You can't do this. You've got to think about it. And so, but apparently, according to his book, from eyewitness accounts, he just kind of looked at them with this, you know, he's got this grin that he has, and he just said, well, that's just the way it is. And you just read through the lines of that, you think, well, he's just carrying out orders. You know, he was just not in control of the agenda. He was clearly there to pursue the war, and that's just the way it is.
Well, you need to remember that one year before the Iraq War really got going, Tony Blair flew down to Texas and had a private meeting with George W. Bush. And this was right after Iraq got permission from the United Nations to sell their oil for the euro instead of the dollar. And so apparently George Bush and Tony Blair decided at that point there was going to be a war against Iraq to bring Iraq's oil back under the U.S. dollar. And that's been driving a lot of these wars all over the globe, trying to prop up the U.S. dollar by using other people's natural resources.
Yeah. Great. Well, that's all I got for you today. Thanks very much for the call. It was great to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much for the call. You gave us a lot of good information, and please call again.
I'll look forward to it. Bye.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Now then, again, back to Sadiq Khan. And as you know, he kicked up a bit of a fuss with this claim that there have always been rape gangs in Britain. And this is just normal life, and you should just get used to it. Try telling that to one of the young girls who've been raped or recruited and forced into prostitution, if this is something that they're going to get used to. But it is ridiculous here. Now Sadiq Khan has done something else that a lot of people are looking at askance, along with all the other crimes that are skyrocketing with the migrant influx. There are knife crimes, because knives are still, for the most part, legal in Great Britain. And Sadiq Khan decided they were going to try and solve the problem by spending £10,000 on knife wands for schools, by which they mean handheld metal detectors. But City Hall is not going to track and report how much they're being used or how many knives are being confiscated, if any. It's something Sadiq Khan is doing just to make it look like Sadiq Khan is doing something about the problem. And the problem is going to be solved when you close those borders and become selective as to who you allow into your country. That is the only workable solution. Everything else is a panacea. We're going to go back to the telephones now, and we're going to go to Jeff in Calgary. Aloha, Jeff. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I haven't called in a while. Expatriate here. I'm really surprised that the, shall we say, alternative media hasn't covered the developments in the Vegas shooting more closely. And maybe you've covered this, but there's two things I want to ask. One, were you aware of the audio tape that was posted to YouTube that has the air traffic control of the Vegas airport saying active shooters are on the runway?
I heard about it. I didn't hear the tape itself, but there's something you need to keep in mind. Apparently, the Mandalay Bay Hotel hired a public relations firm to try and toss a lot of junk about the Mandalay Bay shooting onto the internet in order to basically keep the issue confused, keep people from arriving at a consensus as to what happened, and potentially just to burn out the issue so people would stop talking about it and gamblers would start to come back to that hotel and casino as quickly as possible. And there is a lot of utter nonsense out there about what actually happened. But I think we can all discard that and come to the agreement. We understand that what actually happened that night is not what the official story says it is. We all agree to agree on that. We got lied to again. Let's just figure out what we're going to do about that.
I get it. That audio is out there. If you just YouTube search Vegas shooter on runway, you'll find it. Joel Skousen seems to think it's legit. It sounds legit. As from what I can tell from a cursory search, nobody's debunked it yet. So Okay, so that's one thing. The other is this Jesus compost.
Well, before you go any further, you go any further, okay, let's stipulate there was a shooter on the runway. What did he shoot? Because there have been no reports of bullet holes in people or aircraft.
Oh, that's a good point. Now, Joel Skousen, you can look up one of his speeches he gave before the end of this last calendar year. He said there photos do exist of bullets hitting the fence at the runway. I would have to go back and look that up. That would be the only evidence I know in that case.
Okay. I'd have to go back and look at a map. I know that the airport was fairly close to the Mandalay Bay, and bullets could have reached that far. But that would not have been a shooter on the runway. And again, the air traffic controller may have heard something over one of the other radios and misquoted it. It's not like it's a primary source of information. But at this point, like Oklahoma City, like 9/11, I'm letting Mandalay Bay fade into history because we have things we need to be looking at right now, like Uranium One, the Clinton Foundation, rigged elections, things that are very pressing and current.
Well, yeah, I encourage you to go for it. I would just keep your antenna up. I think the next thing would be a turning point with this, if there was a greater conspiracy, would be when the judge grants or doesn't grant discovery to the many law firms engaged in lawsuits for this. This would be something that would reveal new facts. So just keep your antenna up for that. But other than that, keep pressing ahead, Mike, in 2018. God bless.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. The phone lines are open now if you want to call on in. Pardon me. Getting on back to the economic news, there appears to be a trade war breaking out inside the European Union, which was supposed to be a free trade area. But the argument is apparently with Russia, and apparently Russia has banned imports of European Union pork. And this is part of Russia's measured response to continuing sanctions against Russia. Every time these sanctions were imposed, European producers of various products suffered. I remember this photo where French farmers had dumped truckloads of rotted crops at the steps of government buildings, because they couldn't sell them anymore because their primary customers had been in Russia. Well, now Putin is banning imports of European Union pork, and Brussels has decided this requires compensation to the tune of 1.4 billion euros. And they're going to take this case to the World Trade Organization arbitration panel. And this could lead to the World Trade Organization beginning to fracture. Because I imagine that given that the World Trade Organization has been of almost zero use in trying to deal with the sanctions war, that Russia might just withdraw and say, we're not part of this anymore. I mean, there comes a point where you've sanctioned a country so much that more sanctions just become ineffective. You're up against the law of diminishing returns. And I think with regard to a lot of countries, Russia, Iran, the U.S. and the West have already hit that point. We're going to sanction you more. You've already sanctioned everything. Go ahead and sanction away. We could care less. Now, getting back to the United States here. Wisconsin is the latest of 24 states that have passed laws intended to punish companies and individuals that support the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement that intends to stop Israel's oppression of Palestinians. And obviously, this is a violation of our First Amendment right to freedom of speech, because boycotts are an internationally recognized form of peaceful protest. But there's another legal wrinkle in there, that these laws passed by these 24 states may violate the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. And again, I would chastise the government of these 24 states and remind them that their primary concern is that state and not what's happening over on the other side of the world. No government can serve two masters. And a government that serves Israel cannot, does not, and will not serve the American people. And in these very trying times, America needs leaders who will put America first, second, and third. We don't have the luxury, we don't have the money, we don't have the resilience to have our leaders ignoring their jobs here at home in order to help Israel. Now, we're coming up here on another break. When we come on back, we're going to be talking about Jeff Sessions, who may not be doing anything about Hillary's possible espionage, who may not be doing anything about the Clinton Foundation, but boy, is he at war with marijuana. And we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And Jeff Sessions, he's in high dudgeon. The glove is up. He's angry. He's unleashed his legions of federal prosecutors to go into those states that have decriminalized marijuana or have provisions for medical marijuana, and he's going to stop these weed heads. And he's on fire for that. We've got to preserve those fine American traditions like whiskey and cigars. And they're under threat from this plant that you can grow in your own yard. By golly. And of course, if they start doing more arrests for marijuana, that's going to be a boon to the private prisons industry. They're going to start filling up. Huzzah, huzzah. More taxpayer money to lock up these people for smoking a little bit of a plant. And as it turns out, apparently some of Sessions' aides are tied in with the private prison industry. You can see how all of this stuff works. But apparently, they're about ready to add a new impediment to our lives. There's an advisor to Jeff Sessions. His name is Dr. Robert DuPont. He's supposedly an expert on drug abuse issues. And he is the guy who came up with the idea that marijuana is a gateway drug, that if you smoke a marijuana cigarette, you will automatically get sucked down to the depths of heroin or cocaine or meth addiction. There is no stopping it, because everybody who's on those drugs started with marijuana. Actually, no, they all started with glasses of milk. That's how silly the whole situation is. But now Dr. Robert DuPont is out there. He wants doctors to drug test everyone, so that if you have to go into your doctor, as Claire has had to do for the flu, among everything else, there would be a drug test, which adds more cost to your doctor's visit. And I see a major problem if that goes forward. People who need medical treatment might avoid it rather than risk a positive drug test. And by the way, the quick and dirty drug test that's used by law enforcement gets a lot of false positives. So this is going to harm people getting medical care. People who are smoking marijuana, they get ill, they're going to try and stay home and tough it out. And maybe they will. Maybe they'll get better. It's not like American medical care is of high quality. But those who are seriously ill, they could get worse. They could die. And again, it's a Fourth Amendment violation to drug test everyone, because there has to be evidence of a crime before they start sticking needles into you. Now, Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, has issued a warning, I guess is an appropriate word, to Donald Trump on the issue of marijuana, saying that if Trump continues to stop states from legalizing marijuana, Scott Adams says he's going to turn on the president faster than anyone has ever turned on him. And there have been a lot of turnings of late. And the reason for Scott Adams' ire is very simple. During the campaign, Donald Trump said he favored marijuana legalization. We'll be right back after station identification.
Talk about something serious for a minute, your age. Getting old has its perks, but remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.